not sure he could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the January 14th, 2008 edition of the American Awakening. It's Monday, by the way, also. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, folks, there's been a lot of, paper flying over the past few days regarding that question that was posed to Ron Paul in the Fox debates in South Carolina. A lot of people think that he should have stood up right there when they posed the question, was 9/11 an inside job, and answered yes. I've got Jim Kerwin up today, writes for Rents.com. I've had him up on my show a few times. Now, when Ron Paul was asked the question at those debates, do you think the government was complicit in 9/11? Jim Kerwin thinks he should have answered yes right then. And the fact of the matter is, I don't. The first hour, Jim and I are going to do a debate on this very issue because it seems to have, maybe fractionalized the movement to a degree. And we're going to see if we can put all the questions out on the table, get to the bottom of this, and get everybody back on track here. Now, Jim's going to be coming up right after the break. But before I go to Jim, I want to mention, folks, some of the guests on my upcoming shows. I got Mark Weber coming up tomorrow from the Institute for Historical Review. Mark's been up on my show tomorrow, or he's been up on my show before. And he's going to talk about how the U.S. is heading down the same path as other empires and why they're doing so. So that should be a good show. And also, I'd mentioned to you on my show last week, Sherry Jackson had called in. I've got her coming up this week as well to give us an update on her situation and what's going on down there. Now, a couple other upcoming guests. I've got Richard Gage coming up, who is architect and engineers for 9/11 Truth. He's going to talk about this slam dunk at the subcommittee hearing from Homeland Security that Jane Harmon hosted, where they stuck this website of architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth right in between jihadist websites. And also Michael Rivero is going to be coming up to join us here in the next week or two, so look forward to that. Before we go to break, I want to remind everybody, folks, I take Cardivite every day, three times a day. It works for me. I could very easily get up and run a lap around the block or two. So if you would, please give Don Wiskin a call at 877-928-8822. Again, that's 877-928-8822. If you want to feel better, if you want to have more energy, if you want to look better, if you want to have better clarity of mind, I would suggest, at least that's what it does for me, I'd suggest you give him a call. And also John Onesti, Onesti Investment Advisors at 505-296-2453. Again, that's 505-296-2453. Any question about investments or gold or stocks, bonds, mutual funds, CDs, annuities, IRA, whatever you've got, this guy's a pleasure to deal with. And I mean that emphatically. I've dealt with him behind the scenes, as I've told you many, many times before. He's just a great guy, and I would strongly urge you to give him a call, because in this perilous time in which we live, I'm just sitting here looking at the gold market, and I'm telling you, I've heard it so many times by Bob Chapman and what's going on here, but you can hear this from Bob. You say, well, okay, I believe it or I don't believe it. But then you sit at and you look at what's actually happening with the price of gold, the price of silver, and you sit back, you scratch your head, and you say, you know what, this guy's right. You better do something about it. Folks, I'll be back in three with my guest, Jim Kerwin. We're going to talk about that question posed to Ron Paul. Phone lines are not open the first hour. Second hour, you can give your questions and comments. Be back in three. Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, got a good show for you today. Stick with us and call your friends and neighbors.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
MorningAdvantage.com.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And, folks, I'm sure you know who Jim Kerwin is. He writes for Rents.com. He's a very prolific writer and expresses some pretty poignant views on different matters. I've had him up on my show a few times. Always love having Jim up on my show, even when we disagree. Now, let's go to those debates for a minute. There was and there's been a lot of controversy on this. I've gotten a slew of emails. I've gotten telephone calls. It seems to have caused a little bit of dissent in the movement here. The 9/11 truthers are up in arms because they seem to think that Ron Paul should have stood up at the debates when the question was posed and said, well, you know, yes, 9/11 was an inside job. And Jim seems to believe that way. Is that right, Jim? Are you with me?
I'm with you, Michael.
Okay.
Of course he should have said that.
What's that?
Of course he should have said that.
He should have said that.
But he did not.
He did not. Okay.
He did not.
And so state your specific reasons why you believe that Ron Paul should have taken the time in front of all of his colleagues there, his fellow candidates, and the mainstream media, the mainstream corporate-controlled media, and said, yes, I believe that 9/11 was an inside job.
Well, he didn't have to say that. All he had to say was that 9/11 is the pivotal moment in U.S. history around which all the laws since 9/11, 2001, have been rearranged. Of course this needs to be investigated. Of course this country needs to have real answers to what actually happened on that day. And unless and until it gets those answers, this entire charade is meaningless. That's all he had to say.
Well, let me ask
Come
you this
on,
question,
answer me.
Jim.
Spit it out.
I'm sorry?
Spit it out. What's on your mind?
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Do we know the inside of his mind, and do we know that he indeed believes 9/11 was an inside job, or we need another investigation? I mean, that wasn't what he portrayed in front of the
debate. That's not what he said, Michael. What he said was, I don't have time for this. I want to go back to the original reason I'm up here today and join this debate over here. And I don't believe what they believe.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
That's pretty much what he said.
Well, it was a trick question. It was a loaded question that was it was a damned if you do, damned if you don't question.
Michael, and, he's not a little kid in high school, okay? He's running for president of the United States. If he can be tricked by a simple question by an idiot from Fox News, I don't want him to be president of anything.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question then.
Yeah.
Okay. As we had spoken off the air, and you know my position very well. My position is that this is politics, and these people, you know, he is swimming not only with a pool full of sharks with his colleagues, but also with the mainstream media. And to answer a question in the way of which you are addressing that you think he should have answered it, would have totally destroyed his campaign.
How do you know? Nobody knows that, because no politician these days has been willing to say those kinds of things. That would have caught that entire stage flat-footed. They would have stood there with their mouth hanging open. Cameras would have caught it. They would have to have then debated this point. He missed a premier opportunity to do the one thing that no candidate is willing to do. They can't very well say, well, you're trying to turn this into some kind of debate about what the country is all about. Hello? What are the campaigns about? What is electing a president about if it's not about the core of what this country has been going through for the last 7 years?
Well, Jim, from my perspective, it would have given, in your words, the premier opportunity to allow the corporate-controlled media to use all the ammunition they would need to totally blow this guy out of the water and paint him, as they've been trying to do with all of us for a long, long time, as tinfoil hat-wearing idiots.
They would not have been prepared at that moment any more than you guys were prepared to answer this question. Spot on, if he had simply... I didn't even write anything down for this, okay? I'm doing what I expected him to do, which is spontaneously respond to a question. And he did not do that.
You're saying that
the public wants somebody that knows his own heart. They want somebody that is willing, ready, and able to enunciate what is in his heart and is willing to back it up. If he's not putting anything on the line, if he won't risk losing, my God, he was a 9,000-to-1 shot to begin with. What the hell has he got to lose? Why didn't he do it?
Jim, do you know that he knows that 9/11 was an inside job? That's what he's thinking?
I don't know that. I'm saying that the impetus for all that support came from an assumption that many of us, myself included, sort of kind of did believe that he actually couldn't be in the position he's in and not believe that 9/11 was an inside job. When he categorically said, I don't believe what those people believe, okay?
Right. Then, no, I understand. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, then when he did that, he sort of took the bloom off the rose, because everybody wrongly, apparently, assumed that he almost had to believe that. Otherwise, why is he running? Was he running just to get rid of IRS, just to get rid of the Fed?
I think those would be two very pertinent issues to run on. And not only
that,
they're
irrelevant, Michael, if you don't have
irrelevant.
A country to live in. Don't you understand? What's the point of fighting about the Fed and the IRS if this country has been taken over and we're all sitting in a slave camp somewhere? This is the point. This is what this has always been about. And this country needs to get on that track quick.
Jim, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're, and it sounds to me like you're in the corner, that you're withdrawing all your support for Ron Paul. You're disgusted. You're throwing in the towel. So who's your alternative? come on. You know, you got these smiling faces up here that are all CFR controlled, and I was just reading the people that are backing their campaign, and it reads like a who's who list of nefarious criminals all around the world. Who's your alternative?
I have said for a very long time that this is a horror show. that this thing is a farce, that it does not actually solve a single thing. But it's predicated on a whole complex series of things that have been going on for the last four decades. The rest of the country is not in my corner. Nobody believes that, except a few marginalized people.
Wait a minute.
Like
now, we don't know that, because I have to tell you, over the weekend, I've been getting a lot of different emails from people, and I have to tell you, it's about 50-50, and this really concerns me, because if these people are talking about pulling their support for Ron Paul, then I have to throw it out there and say, well, wait a minute, folks, who's the alternative? And I go back on the main issue again, which is, look, this is politics, and whether that guy believes it or whether he doesn't believe it, the first thing he's got to do is get that office, get elected, and once he gets elected, okay, now he can open up that door, but if he opens that can of worms right now, he will never have a chance of getting there. That's my position.
It's a good, safe position, Michael. So that is the problem. This is politics. This is a man who said he was not. He had nothing to gain. He's got a 50-year marriage. He's very comfortable. He's had a good life. He felt that the country needed a new direction, so he decided he would run. That was the initial premise.
Right, okay. Right. Now, Jim, have you thought through, have you, with your analytical and critical mind, have you thought through the implications and the most likely consequences of him getting out on the air and blurting out that, yes, he believes 9/11 is an inside job, whether he does or he doesn't? Have you thought about the field day that they would all have with him?
On day two, I have thought about that. But the opportunity that he had at that second that he blew, because he didn't respond from his gut, because he tried to do the politically safe thing of manipulating and twisting and shaping his answer to suit a bunch of politicians. This is crap. It's always been crap. Ever since we went to having these panels decide what leaders ought to be thinking, ever since focus groups and all the rest of that garbage, ever since we started doing that, we've lost track. Part of Paul's appeal has always been that here's a real man. Here's a real guy. Somebody who would actually believe in something and stand up for it and take it wherever it follows, wherever it goes. You never know what is going to happen. You can't predict it. I don't give a shit how many pollsters you use, pardon my language. Until and unless somebody actually says that, there's no way to know what it would happen. It might have produced a landslide. Equally, it might have killed him as a candidate.
But Jim, you're still going off the assumption that this man believes that 9/11 was an inside job, and we don't know that. We don't know that what he said wasn't the gospel truth from his own belief system, Jim. So are you not making assumptions on this?
Of course I'm making assumptions. Everybody makes assumptions, me included.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. I'm listening. Continue with your rant, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, you got the bulk of my rant.
All right.
I'm looking for something that I will find in a minute.
All right. Well, look, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. We got a break coming up in about a minute, but I've had a request, a very serious request from a very, very strong Ron Paul supporter who is just chomping at the bit to get on and give his 2 cents worth. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to introduce a dear friend to you and me, Jim, and let him speak for a moment and see what thoughts are on his mind regarding this issue, because as we all know that this is an extremely controversial issue, and if we don't nip this in the bud and corral the pack, if you will, there's a lot of disenfranchised people. There's a lot of people that are saying, well, I'm not going to support him anymore. If he doesn't want to get up on stage and do that, well, your money would have gone down a toilet hole if he would have done it, in my opinion, because it would have destroyed his campaign. But at any rate, let me do this. We've got a break coming up, and I'm going to introduce John Stadtmiller. John, are you with me?
I'm here.
How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. How you doing, Jim?
good, John.
I've been sitting here monitoring. I've been doing some preparatory work for the National Intel Report, and I'm going to have a good friend of Ron Paul's for some 30 years on the program today.
Okay.
And we're going to be discussing strategies. There's three things you got to remember about politics and three basic fundamental rules, and that's simply this.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism.
Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. Okay, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live with Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Jim Kerwin, debating the Ron Paul South Carolina debate with the question, do you think 9/11 was an inside job, and are you prepared to tell your supporters to go somewhere else if they do not agree or disagree? I don't even remember what they were talking about now. But John Stabenow, Jim, I don't want you to think we're ganging up on you here. John asked to come on here today. He wants to make a couple of points because there are some things going on behind the scenes. And let's give him the floor for a few minutes and see what he's got on his mind. Go ahead, John.
Do I believe that 9/11 was an inside job? Yes, but I'm not running for president. If you want to commit political suicide, standing in front of a forum in front of God and all of his people during one of these debates, and absolutely shoot yourself in the foot, well, Jim, I would suggest that if he wanted to end his political career and be a laughingstock, I don't know if you caught that debate a couple of Saturdays ago on ABC, but not only were the people assembled on stage laughing at him, so were the talking heads posing the questions. Politics is a strange animal. It is very strange, and we've got a very confused populace out there. I talked to Ron Paul via phone yesterday for a half hour, and there was several points about his campaign that we had covered. I didn't even ask them the question about his response to Carl Cameron's question about, do you believe that 9/11 is an inside job? Because he handled it exactly correctly. He said that, look, I don't personally believe that. Now, whether his well of knowledge is the same as yours, Jim, or Michael Herzog's, or myself's, myself or the 9/11 truthers out there, it remains to be seen. But from a political aspect, I told Ron yesterday, I said, look, I said, you've got to be a little bit more specific because the campaign is now heating up and they're moving in to the number one thing on people's mind out there, the economy. We are in the death throes of the Great Republic here, and it's financial engine. It's ceasing to move. And I talked to him about that. And I said, look, Ron, the problem we're facing here, that 90% of those people, the people out there that voted for George Bush, or people that are thinking about voting for Mr. Huckabee, or, you know, whomever the candidate is, I said, when you talk about financial issues, 90% of those people sitting in that audience, it goes right over their head. The fractionalized reserve banking system has been in place for almost 100 years, and 90% of those people that are in that audience and the many more millions watching you, it is going right over their head. So if we want him to commit political suicide, let him field another question on 9/11 and say, yeah, I think it was an inside job. How I personally would have responded to that would have been simply this, Jim. Look at the questions that are being asked of this government. Look at the situation that we're in. People are desperate for answers. And then I would have thrown in, look, I want to talk about what the rest of the people have been talking about for 20 minutes. Can I now get in on the debate? Politics are politics, Jim. I mean, it's pure and simple. And people are getting a little wiggy out there, and they're starting to split hairs on the best man. And, Michael, you posed the question to Mr. Kerwin here. If not Ron Paul, then who? Okay, so we're going to pick up our bat and our ball. We're going to go home because this guy didn't answer the question the way we would have liked him to answer it.
Well, I'm being slightly, excuse me, John.
Yeah.
I found the thing I was looking for, which will probably cast a little more light on this. It's something I put on a message I sent to Michael today, and he's gotten a lot of them from me, so I can't say that he didn't see it out of any...
832 to be
there you
exact.
Go. It's not very long, but it will change some of this, I think. I have said from the start of the charade that in Paul's case, he was, for me, the possible exception because he had not been anointed by the CFR. But as for the selections this time, they have been nothing but a national horror show in a race to the bottom that seems to be a contest centered solely on who is the least qualified fool that can convince the most sheep that they can get away with running for office without appearing to be disconnected from the herd. In this America, there are no longer any political parties. There are only members of the CFR, AIPAC, the Committee of 300, the Trilateralists, the Bilderbergers, the Money Changers, the Bonesmen, and the Corporatocracy, all fighting over who shall lead the scavengers that are currently picking the corpse of this former nation, right down to our blood-smeared bones. That's my view, and it's been my view for possibly the last 15 years.
And I would not discount or I would not minimize anything that you just said and that which you have wrote up. I completely agree with that.
Now,
and
the problem...
I am amen to that. Yeah.
Okay, but the problem, John, and I think you probably in part agree, is that politics has become, in America, has become this parlor game among the very few. The vast majority of the American citizenry has no idea. And the only reason they're about to get any idea is because suddenly the safety of their investments, the safety of their way of life economically, socially, morally, in every other way, is being threatened by what's been happening for the last 7 years. Would you agree with that?
I would agree.
Okay. So the problem becomes, for me, in how I view and how people like me view Ron Paul, in this way. He has joined their club. Their club is the one that would be outraged. Their club is the one that would laugh. Their club, et cetera, et cetera. But this country has had six long years, to think about what happened on 9/11. There have been innumerable reports. There is a vast amount of information out there about what went on that day. And to ignore that as a key pivotal point in who could be, should be, the President of the United States just outlines clearly that this is a charade and not an election.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey, everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cash Flow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments. F 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Jim Kerwin. And we've got John Stadtmiller that's popped in here to make a few points. And, John, go ahead and continue answering your question.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to do that. And Jim, what I've been liking this to, and my analogy is that John Smith, he wouldn't have taken the captainship of the Titanic and told that, sir, you're going to run this ship into an iceberg. But what we are told, after we're told that this great ship, even God couldn't sink it, once it hit the iceberg, it is going down. Now, the solution of this problem is to book his passage on the next ship that's going to go down, the Lusitania. And that's how I view this cultural, political assault that has happened to this republic. Now, let me say this. Over 3 years ago, down in McKinney Ruffs, Texas, I talked to Ron Paul and his wife, and I had asked if he was considering running for the presidency. And they both said to me simultaneously, no. His wife said, no, they'll kill him. Ron said, no, they would kill me. I said, okay, then we got a midterm coming up here for Texas. What about the governorship of Texas? Same reply. Well, evidently, I was one of the first ones that really seriously planted that seed in his mind. And a lot of people have been after him ever since. And in the culmination of at that time, 3 years ago, with him was simply this. That anybody seeking the office of the presidency, actually seeking it, I wouldn't trust him. It is the person that is drug kicking and screaming
into
this.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely, Sean.
Yeah. So make a long story short here, Jim. We have a guy that is running for president. He is not about to commit political suicide because so far the grassroots movement has put this guy in the limelight, has given him his funds. I don't expect him, and I would not probably not forgive him. Well, yes, I would. But I'm not going to sit around and watch this guy commit political suicide. And he's been Dr. No for 20-some years on Capitol Hill. He knows exactly who and what he's dealing with.
I'm familiar with his record, John.
Yes.
I have something I want to insert.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have a basic disagreement. It's not about organization. Politics is never about organization.
Yes, it is.
Politics is about gut issues. It cannot be made into a science. Every revolution that has ever happened proves this. True politics is about your own welfare and the feelings, the depth of feeling in you that what you do politically, what you do as a country, what you do as an individual and as part of a society is what determines how you eventually will be led. And any time you allow considerations beyond that to run the show, as we have been doing now since the end of the Second World War, then you get a flawed system, because this is all about who's got the best deal, how am I going to make the most money? It's not about the country, it's not about the Constitution, it's not about the law, it's not about anything to do with the stuff that really matters the day after tomorrow. It's about right this second, where's my profit? And it, as long as that's the case, then you're going to want to run things from the point of view that you describe. You want to organize everything. You want to make sure no mistakes are made. You want, I mean, not you personally, but that side of the fence, would love to have this thing worked out like a mathematical equation. And you cannot do that. I mean, you can do it, but it's not going to really work. Because at the end of the day, when people truly see the face of this monster that, that has been running their lives for all this time, there's going to be a real backlash.
Well, and I understand that. And there, this is why Ron Paul is such a threat. He is a threat to the corporations out there, Jim. He is a threat to the private corporations, the money lenders, the credit people. He is an enemy of the pharma cartel. This guy's got so many enemies, you can line them up from here to the moon. And we know that and we understand that. The only thing we're discussing here, Jim, and I think the question has been brought up to you by Michael Herzog, is the question on how he answered on the relevance of the issue of 9/11. And Jim, I'm in complete concurrence with Mr. Ron Paul about this. I would have maybe handled that a little bit differently, but he doesn't have somebody with their hand up his backside making his mouth move. He's his own man, and he's handling things his own way. But I would disagree with you so much on this point about politics. Politics, to me, is what the politicians do to scam us out of everything that we own, the freedoms, the liberties.
They only get away with this, John, because we don't participate.
Exactly. And the Matrix, and that's a very good point. That's exactly where I was going with this, Jim. The Matrix has been created. So we have a guy that we shove, Neo, back into this Matrix to fix the problem. So how do we handle this? And my only assertion here is, sir, that he doesn't get up there and politically shoot himself in the foot because before he even gets the opportunity to explain his issues in depth, rather than being railroaded or sidetracked, rather, into other issues that are not going to net the guy anything. That is my only complaint about this, and that's
you
the
can't
only...
Do, John, here's the problem. How long have you been in politics?
How long have I been in politics?
Yeah.
I've never run for a political office, if that's what you're asking.
That's bullshit. That's the tip of the iceberg. How long have you been playing in politics?
I have not been playing in politics, ever. This is the first time that I've ever
I have, okay?
Okay.
I know about politics.
All right.
I've been behind the scenes for a long time, for over four decades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Politics is not a gentleman's sport.
No, it's not.
Okay? This is a nasty business. People die. And one of the things that you can't do simultaneously as a politician is plot and scheme and plan your every single word when you're in front of a microphone. What has to come out of you if you're going to win is what appears to be spontaneity. And if that does not happen, people walk away.
Jim, if you've been involved in politics for four decades, then you know exactly what the point I'm trying to make here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that Rudy Giuliani or Hillary Clinton or any of the John McCains of this planet do not have their people, they're coaching their every move, what they wear, how they hold their head? They script them out for any possible scenarios on questions that are answered, and then they tell them, look, if you don't want to answer that question, we'll show you how to politically skip out of that issue and then turn the debate or the question back
ever
to your favor.
Wag the dog, most of America's now figured that out.
Yeah.
They didn't really know about that before.
But we're talking about a population that has been unplugged from the participatory thing that we have in this country, politics. They've been unplugged from it for so very long that when they do have a man, and I'll give you a prime example of this. Ron Paul, during one of these debates, and I think it was on Fox, made the statement that the federal government is $60 trillion in the hole. Past, present, and future obligations, talking about Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all of those different things. He said we're $60 trillion in the hole. The venerable talking heads that were seated in front of him didn't even bother to do a 30-second follow-up like, excuse me, what did you just say? Nothing. It went over their heads. It went over the heads of the participants in that debate.
And if this man has this fire in his belly that I expect him to have, or he's not getting my vote, then he says to that truculent reporter, excuse me, does that figure not bother you? By the way, he's wrong. It's $72 trillion.
Actually, it's closer to $100 trillion, but we won't quibble over the trillions
right.
here.
The point is, that was said in order to elicit a response. The reporter chose not to. It's not the reporter's job to bypass that. He's sitting there. The public is who he's supposed to be serving, not himself or herself.
Right.
And by not doing that, the guy is, you know, and the public doesn't call him on it, ever. Nobody calls up the radio station or the television station or the network.
They didn't understand the significance of what he had just said.
Right. Well, duh. But yeah. It's their money. That you know, enormous figure in the trillion.
Well,
that's our money.
What we're doing here, Jim, is we're teaching college-level classes to people that are neophytes that are barely out of kindergarten. So how much can they handle? And this goes right back to your point here about 9/11. Look, Jim, I don't want to eat up a whole lot of Mr. Herzog's time with you on air, and I appreciate...
Oh, that's right. I'm still here.
That's right. But at any rate, I'll beg out of this, but just simply to make the point that Mr. Paul is aware out there, and he knows what is going on, and he is... And Michael, you brought up a good point. We don't know the depth of Mr. Paul's knowledge. I mean, it's a little time-consuming being a seated congressman. It's a little time-consuming running a presidential campaign. He's a man that's honest. He doesn't have people prepping him in his office. They don't have people that go through difficult issues and give their summation to him. He reads everything. He's a man that's on top of things. And I don't know, Jim, that he has had the time to look into the 9/11 issue. But I got an idea here. Let's get the guy into the Oval Office and we'll ask him after he becomes president. Can we do that? Jim, I thank you for your time, sir, and your patience.
That's going to happen, John.
Hey.
And if that is going to happen, the only thing that's going to make that possible is if he reaches down deep inside himself and lets the audience see that fire in the mind that is required. They'll follow that anywhere. But as long as if he continues to mumble, if he is not specific, and if he continues to do what he just did.
And ironically, Jim,
this is
exactly what I've been talking to people about for the last 14 days. His delivery, his subject matter, the detail. He needs
the force with which he needs to deliver it.
Yeah.
I mean, he comes up there and people, I do this for a living. People are my business, not politics. His body language says, guys, I'm a conservative man, I believe what I believe, and I believed it for a very long time, and I'm your guy, I can do this. But he's saying that in a room where he is not taken seriously because he doesn't forcefully inject what the things that he comes to say.
That's exactly the subject
that
matter.
Is we the
have well, that's exactly what we have been discussing. Jim, I wished I would have had this conversation with you prior to Michael's show today, because I think you would have gained a little bit more insight. I am talking to people that are closest to him, that have known him for 30 plus years, that understand the political arena out there and the sharks
the
that you mentioned.
The difference is this, John. The difference is the insider versus the outsider. I have always been an outsider. I'm a real live person. I live in the real world. I'm somebody that has faced danger on a regular basis for the whole of my life. This is not who Ron Paul is. He's an upstanding, outstanding doctor. He's a man who has mastered living by the rules in this country. I'm somebody that doesn't do that. He needs some people like that, because those are the people, those edge people, who know where the ditches are, where this entire thing comes apart, and why it won't work in the long run. But you can't get there playing by their rules in their arena.
So far, he has been outside of the rules. He, like I stated earlier, he is a danger to the status quo. There's a lot of people that are nervous about this guy, but the one important issue that Ron Paul is facing right now is how to make people think and believe as he does on the issues that are out there. And one of them, in my book, and Jim, I've done this on air and I've done this repeatedly, I am not a denier of the 9/11 Holocaust. I understand it. I understand what was involved, and I have the questions as well. But timing is, in politics, as important as the subject matter itself. And now is not the time.
Well,
and I've been saying this on the air for 2 months. I'm not talking about 9/11 anymore, because we cannot prove a negative any more than we have brought anybody to justice for the assassination of JFK.
Oh, this is quite different from that. There's a lot of evidence. This was a crime, not an act of war.
Well,
and
yeah.
Crimes can be investigated, and motive and opportunity and all the rest of that stuff needs to be and can be and has been discovered.
Well, and Jim, keep something in mind. I'm talking to you from a state that we give you the reincarnation of Franklin Delano Roosevelt by way of Lyndon Baines Johnson, and when we don't like presidents, we just drag them down here and kill them. So
I cut my teeth on LBJ.
I understand. Hey, Jim, thank you for your patience. Michael, thank you for the invite.
Great
on the program.
To you.
Thank you.
Sure, John. So, who are you voting for, Jim? I almost forgot it was my show today.
Sorry about that.
No, it's not your fault. I mean, I had a feeling that this would happen, because I know what John's been doing with his diligence behind the scenes. And, John is probably close to, if not the most avid supporter of Ron Paul, of anybody that I've ever seen. And this disenfranchisement, this fractionalization, if you will, of some of these people out there, especially with the emails and telephone calls I've been getting this weekend, it's very disheartening, especially given the fact that we know, I mean, you know, you sent me an email, John, or, Jim, and I want to get into this a little bit, because, you know, I posed the question to you if not Ron Paul, then who? And I'm looking at this, and this, by the way, is, you know, you sent this to me, Jim. Look at our alternatives here. John McCain, who's backing this guy? Who's in his campaign management? None other than Henry Kissinger and Richard Armitage. I mean, come on, you know, Barack Obama, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright.
I have put that link in a longer version in 3 or 4 different articles. Okay, I've known about that for a while, and I didn't know the specifics, and I was cloudy about it, but somebody wrote them all down, and I included it. It is the key. Once upon a time, you voted for a man for president, and the president was expected to do everything. That's a joke. In the background of all of that, the people, with the exception of Henry Kissinger, who became an international figure doing that as a cloakroom guy, the rest of them managed to stay hidden for the most part of the time. The reason these people are so bloody important is because when you vote for X, you automatically get them. And Cheney's a good example of that. I mean, Cheney's running the White House. Cheney's running foreign policy. And he's he and Netanyahu have now just hooked up this thing whereby Iran is going to be attacked, period. And all of that kind of stuff goes with everybody that we vote for. And most people have no clue about who these people are being advised by, these other characters. I think the one I sent you had seven candidates.
Right, yeah,
the
exactly.
backers on
yeah.
seven candidates came from Rents. That thing is so critically important, and Americans don't have any idea even what they do, much less who they are, or how that would affect their long-term lives.
Well, Jim, but that just reinforces my point, is that if not Ron Paul, then who? I mean, you know, Rudy Giuliani, for crying out loud. You know, Norman Podhoretz, World War IV Podhoretz, or Podhoretz,
yeah.
whatever. It's, I mean,
Podhoretz.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, these guys are either in or affiliated with the CFR. They're all globalists. They're all neocons. They're all warmongers, okay?
Yeah.
And then you've got,
mm-hmm.
what's that? Yeah, and so you've got one... Yeah, you've got one guy standing out in the beacon of light, and you're asking him to shoot himself in the foot. I'm scratching my head here, Jim. I don't get it.
I was waiting.
Now, I understand.
Okay,
I understand.
Here's what you don't get, though,
that?
Michael. I was waiting. People like me, not just me, but people like me as well, were all waiting for that one moment to finally come when he would finally be asked this question. And mm-hmm. he should have known that it was coming, for God's sake. I mean, he's been in this. He was fighting to get into these damn debates. He had to be something front and center in his brain. They're going to ask me about this. What am I going to do when they do?
But Jim, but they're also, these same people are waiting for the new investigation to come, and I'm saying my position.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
On preparedness products, please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special and very knowledgeable guest, Jim Kerwin. And Jim, I want to toss this out here, too. I mean, Mitt Romney, for crying out loud. You know, who's backing this guy? This, you know, George, let's see, Coffer Black, former CIA and George W. Bush State Department counterterrorism officer, vice president of Blackwater USA, Alberto Cardenas, lobbyist and former chairman of the Florida Republican Party. I mean, hello, this is a who's who of the most nefarious, you know, behind the scenes covert criminals on the planet, for crying out loud. And if not Ron Paul, I pose the question again, Jim, who? Hello, Jim. Are you with me?
That question, I see that big Cheshire smile coming on the faces of those folks, because they've got exactly what they've been after all this time. There is no choice, all right, in that election. There is just no choice. You just pointed that out.
Jim, and it's funny you were talking about the Cheshire cat smile, because I read an article the other day, and it's got the pictures of all these people bold-faced on the front of the article, and there's eight of them, and they've all got that Cheshire cat smile.
Because they're all on the same team. Doesn't make any difference. Pick one.
Sure, let's pick doo-doo or caca. Which one do you want? I mean, and Ron Paul's the only shining light beacon standing out from the crowd, and these disenfranchised people out there are saying, well, I don't know if I want to give him any more money. What else? Who do you want to give it to? Hillary Clinton? I mean, come on. Come on. Let's rein him in. Let's reel in the crowd. Let's get the money drums rolling, and let's get this guy elected. Because I'm telling you right now, Jim, I haven't, you know, you're talking about gut feelings and integrity and all that good stuff. Okay. When it gets into that arena, when you're swimming in the sharks with the sharks, you better learn how to bite or you're going to get eaten. So there's a time, you know, I'm a very integral person and I tell the truth all the time, but there are certain factions of individuals, certain bureaucracies, when I might stretch it or outright lie sometimes, because it's the playing field of which you find yourself that causes us to make that decision.
Okay,
now, and you
on.
Can't tell me that you've never done that in your life.
I can't. I can tell you in my life I've made a lot of mistakes. My point in this case is this. There is one time when he might have gotten away with that, and that was when the surprise was on his side. They wouldn't have been prepared for an answer like I gave you. And at the same time, if you can't ask that question in front of a national audience, they can't turn the camera off on it. Not then. Because there's a whole audience full of people that would have heard the answer even if the television audience didn't. He had that one opportunity, and he muffed it. Now, have I made similar mistakes? Yeah, but I never run for president, okay?
You're saying that he muffed it. Okay, now, yeah. I was reading Sherry Baker's article here. Let's get, and by the way, I noticed your little comment down there at the bottom where you addressed part of my email, or my email. Let's get real because somebody needs to. And in that article, she states, and I'll scroll down here, the only thing that he could have really answered that was any better in my mind, and I agree with Sherry here, is sticking to the fact that he supports everyone's right to speak, to free speech and the search for what they believe is the truth. Now, remember, this guy's on stage and he's up there to give a spontaneous answer and he's got 90 seconds to give the answer. I don't think if you or I would have been in that position, or a number of other people that I know, that we could have come up with anything better, unless we would have just simply blurted out 9/11 was an inside job, which we don't know whether he believes or not. Don't sigh. Come on.
Well, here. You said earlier that you thought that... No, John said that he wasn't sure that Dr. Paul had a chance to think about 9/11 yet. That bothers me, okay? You're going to run for president? You got to think about that.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think that he probably has done research on 9/11. But remember, as John also said, I don't think that he has the same or, you know, endeavors in the same arenas of journalism that...
Gold.